Everybody says it's going to be an awesome day. Says it's going to be a marvelous day. Said this is going to be a godly encounter. You know, we need to make our faith declaration when we get up in the morning. You might not feel good. You'd say, man, this is going to be a fantastic day. Although you don't feel very good. And, you know, there's trouble ahead. He said, this is going to be an awesome day, a day of miracles, a day of divine connections. God's setting up divine things to happen. You know, I'm going to meet, like he said, Holy Ghost setups. God's going to set up some things. Amen. We're going to meet people that we need to meet, and we're going to avoid people that we need to avoid. Amen. Because God is setting up things, and he knows how to turn things around in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's all stand one more time and pray. I want to pray for the people across the country in our city and in this room. I partner with our friends, Spirit Alive, and we pray for them every day. And every time I remember, I pray and I give thanks for every partner. I'm praying for your children. I'm praying for your finances. I'm praying for your health. I'm praying that you will not have a bad day in your whole life. But, you know, that's, somebody said that's almost impossible, but we're believing God. And there's the Bible says that that God has the way of the righteous, I think it's the 28th chapter over there of Proverbs. The way of the righteous is just an open, wonderful road. Praise God, eh? And there's no death in it, no destruction in it. God has set apart for us a road that we can enjoy. But there's, you know, the enemy, he tries to come in there, and he tried to disturb that. And so we're going to pray for every person. We're going to bless everyone. And we're going to pray for their healing and health, and pray that they're, if they're in trouble, that they're going to get released out of that trouble and avoid problems. Amen. And we're going to pray that every need is met. Let's go and lift that hand up, Father. We pray for every one of our partners and friends across Canada and around this city and around in this room right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that every one of them is blessed this morning. I pray that they would be so blessed, Lord God, that you said that the blessing of God is upon their lives, and God, you add no sorrow to it. And so we pray in the name of Jesus for their health this morning. We pray that every person that's suffering would be healthy. We command healthiness to come in your body in the name of Jesus, affecting every part of your being, every part of your physical body, and in your soul. May you be released from every tension and every stress and every heartache and every disturbance in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to invigorate them, strengthen each one in the name of Jesus. We pray that whatever is disturbing them financially, we bind the enemy. You will not steal from them anymore in the name of Jesus. Today, we command the blessing of God, financial blessing for every partner in the name of Jesus, because God wants to prosper you. And so, Father, we thank you. We loose angels of God. Angels go forth and cause financial blessings to come their way. There'll be plenty left over and more to sow and more to increase in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for every single man, woman, and child who's sowing in the ministry. We partner with them and we bless them. We thank you for their dedication to be a partner and to serve Canada, to bless Canada, and to bless those that are shut in, bless those that are incarcerated, bless those that cannot feed themselves on their own. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that multiplied blessings will come. So we thank you. We seal this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you right now by faith that this is so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Go ahead, be seated. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the 14th chapter of the book of John. This morning, we're going to talk about how to deal with a troubled mind. And if you come here, you have a troubled mind, well, we got something for you. If you didn't have a troubled mind, we can give you some. No, we won't. The Lord is good, and he wants to help you. So, dealing with a troubled mind. Last week we dealt a little bit about spiritual warfare, and we'll go back to that at some point. But I felt we need to talk about dealing with the troubled mind, and that's where the warfare happens. And so we want to, you know, begin to just attack that area right away and take authority. And so the John, the 14th chapter and verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 27 as well. Jesus is talking to his disciples before his ascension, and he's teaching them all the time, leading them. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, sometimes the word heart is translated soul or mind, refers to the mind. You have to take the context and look at it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Of course, believe has to do with the heart. You know, you could have peace in your heart and trouble coming to your mind. And at the same time, you can have peace in the midst of trouble. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Verse 27 says, peace. Everybody say peace. Peace I leave with you. How much? What did Jesus leave? He left us peace. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth. You know, the world is trying to give people a false sense of peace. The world would want to offer you a false sense of peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So it's a different kind of peace. Let not your heart be troubled, he says it again. Neither let it be afraid. So we are dealing with a troubled mind. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Or don't let your mind be troubled. Don't let your mind be troubled. And the Lord wants us to have a trouble-free mind. What do you think, you know, the Bible says here, you know, about that troubled mind? Let's look at it some more. Here's what I want to offer, or at least a point of, in the whole message I want to give to you, and that is the condition of your mind or your soul or your heart depends on what you feed it, whether knowingly or unknowingly. What you think affects how you feel each day, what you focus on in your mind, you know, it really affects your emotional area. And what you're feeling, what you feel, really affects your actions, affects what you do, affects your behavior. Your behavior results in the conditions that come in your life and the way you act and how you act out feelings begin to manifest in your life. Or in other words, we can say our reactions to our troubledness really will result in different things that manifest around our lives. So in our opening scripture, Jesus himself said not to have a troubled mind. And yet there are thousands, untold numbers of Christians who refuse to act on the scripture, who say they're unable to obey this word. Was Jesus not thinking about the gravity of the situations we find ourselves in today? The complexity of trials and troubles that come upon humanity across the nation, across the world, in our own personal lives? Did he know how much trouble that Facebook could give you? Social media, and they say children are having more anxiety than ever before because of this social media. It affects their psyche. It affects their emotional, you know, realm. You can hurt people online. Children are being affected in their self-image by how much likes they have and the messages they get from different things. You know, when I was growing up in my later teens, I was taught in my social sciences class about how media affects children, how media affects the young people, and what they put on billboards, what you should buy, and what you should wear. If you want to be in the in crowd, you got to look like this. Your body has to be cut in shape like this if you want to really be happy. And so we do our best with products. And they sell us more and more products. Buy more and more cars, and yet you're still not happy. Buy more boats. And more skidoos. More motorcycles. More clothing. Go to more shops. Right? Nobody here like that, I know that. So we find a complexity of problems. Well, I believe we can do what God says we can do. God will never tell you to do something that you cannot do. Brother Hagin used to say that God, he would say that if God told you something and you could not do it, then God would be unjust. And God is not unjust. If God tells you to do something in His Word, you can do it. And He wouldn't tell you to do something without giving you the empowerment to do it. For instance, I like the scripture. It reminds me of things in my life that I'm insufficiently unable to perform. Sometimes they're little things. It says in, I believe it's Philippians chapter 2, I believe, verse 13, For it is God who empowers you, graces you to do things that you're not able to do. Then He'll give you the willingness to do things you don't want to do. Isn't that wonderful? He'll give you the willingness. In fact, the Bible tells me that God, in His graciousness, will actually bless me, and He'll, when I can't talk to people, that God will talk to them for me. And Bible says, even if my enemies will be at peace with me. Amen. Because I please Him. And the only way you can have peace is obeying God. I've read that many scriptures, you know. Job says, you know, obey God and you shall have peace. Well, so many have believed a lie that they cannot do it, cannot act on the scripture. We cannot live without a troubled mind, they say. We cannot live without a heavy heart and burdened hearts. Well, God wants to take the load off your mind today. He wants you to be, you know, lighthearted, trouble-free. As we read our text again, let's go ahead and read the text. Verse 1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My peace, or peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said this twice here. And so, from those scriptures, we can take into consideration, number one, that we can refuse to be troubled or afraid. That you can decide that right now, just like the 23rd Psalm says, I will not fear. Even though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Fear. I've said that a few years ago. I said, I make up my mind today that I will not be afraid of anything. That's a decision that I've made. Now, there's many opportunities. I could have had a heart attack. You know what I'm talking about? I could have had an anxiety attack, I was going to say. anxieties, you know, they want to come up on you. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said he got so full of anxiety one time, he kind of lost himself, and he found himself in the yard walking around. He said, what am I doing out here? So you could be so entangled in your mind, you lose consciousness of what's going on around you. And yet God says, I want you to have a trouble-free mind. So right now, this very moment, sitting in this very room, sitting in this house of God, people come in with a troubled mind. People are watching on television. I know you're watching on television. I see my head's shiny again. I forgot to go to my washroom and put some powder on. Where's my manager? All right. Maybe I should be like those rock stars and just put a thing here. Like Keith Richards. I know why he put that there, because he's half bald. I never knew that before. And there's some other bands that do that. They try to act cool. Praise God. Well, we're going to edit that, right? Hallelujah. Number two. Most Christians don't believe what Jesus said. Because they say, some say, I can't do that because you don't understand the crisis I'm in. You don't understand what I have to worry about. And that's what they say, because didn't Jesus know that? He said, I can't stop worrying. I remember Brother Higgins said, Brother Ken, he said, if I find scripture that I understand, I promise God that I will act on it. And he came across about worry. And he said, God, he came across this, you know, I believe it was Matthew, where Matthew it says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of his own. He came across that scripture reading that in his bed, and he told the Lord, he had promised God, when I understand the Bible, I'll always act on it. So he made a promise. So he got to that scripture, and he read it, and he told God, I can't do this. I can't stop worrying, like many people. He said, my grandmother and my mother were world champion warriors. And I've inherited that ability to worry. And, I've got lots to worry about. And people say this, you don't love me. You never worry about me. Anybody ever say that to someone? Anybody ever say that to you? You don't worry about me. Does Mrs. King say that? No? No? He said, no, don't worry about Mr. King. He's on his own. Praise God. Mrs. Fisher, do you ever do that? I know she's not looking at me. I better watch that look. I recognize that. Number three, we're going to move on. We're not going to wait any answers. Praise God. I know. Okay. Number three, is Jesus right about this or not? Is what people are saying more accurate than we suppose? That we can actually have peace. Can we have peace of mind in dark times? That's what it says here in the scripture. That's what we're talking about. Because people say, I can't do this. Number four here. God's word is empowerment to us. And it can put us over fear and worry and anxiousness. For the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice this, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know? How many people know your soul is not your spirit and your spirit is not your soul? Your spirit is born again, but your mind is not born again. You know, when you get born again, your mind doesn't automatically change by itself any more than your hair comes into place every morning by itself. You have to take it and comb it, wash it and scrub it up, put a little bit of product on it, keep it down. Hallelujah. So God says, God's word is quick or it's powerful, it's alive. So God's word is empowerment. When we read that scripture, it says, if Jesus said, I can do it, Here's another point. Don't ever say you can't do what God says, because it'll block the power of God from operating in your life. You must say, no matter how you feel, this is God's word. I can do what God says I can do. I can be what God says I can be. I can go where God says I can go. I can stay where God says I can stay. I can have what God says I can have. And we can continue on and on and on and be specific about it for ourselves and begin to do that. I tell the devil, I'm not worried about anything. I don't have a care in the world. And yet, I got stuff to worry about. Praise God. Everybody has something to, you know, be really, you can be really, have a good one right now. Go home and just right after service, just worry yourself sick. What? You have a choice. Here's what Proverbs 6:2 says. You are snared, thou art snared with the words of your mouth. In other words, whatever you say, you hold yourself captive. You must believe, you know, our Christianity begin as we begin to confess Jesus. We said, Jesus, come in my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. You said that with your mouth. And you can say that, and that's how Christianity will work for the rest of your life. You have to believe in your heart, like Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. Believing in God is believing in the Word, believing in the Bible. Believe in God. Not only that, but say with your mouth. Say what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? We can say those scriptures. We can say, I'm more than a conqueror. And then you feel so small, but you have to say it anyway, praise God, amen? Say it with your mouth. Thou art taken captive with the words of your mouth. Notice that. You're taken captive with the words. The words you express every day, what you say is important to God. That gives license to God or the devil. When we need to say things according to what God says, and then we'll have our deliverance. Here's something else we need to consider. We can't get this kind of peace that Jesus offers anywhere in the world. You can't get it from drugs, cigarettes, any kind of pleasure. You know, there was a pleasure boat out there yesterday. We saw a pleasure boat. How many of you saw that pleasure boat in that port here? Am I the only nosy guy? I just happened to be driving there. An old man says, my wife told me there's a port. There's some kind of ship came by here, bringing all kinds of Vikings. So I want to see Vikings. I always thought I would like to meet one. I don't know where it's from, Norway somewhere, or Sweden, somewhere on there. So we went up to the Hillcrest Park, and we went there. We took our dog, and my wife said, oh, no, it's gone. And so we went there, and the old man says, you can't hardly see that ship out there. Oh, no, it's gone. We looked out there. Oh, it's still there. So we went to see the ship, and it's marvelous. How many of you actually see it? Nobody saw it? You saw it? We wanted to get on it, but they won't let us on. It's nice. Want to go to Alaska. I think there's some ships there. They're traveling around the Great Lakes. It's kind of a Great Lakes tour or something. So maybe we can all get on it one of these days and have a service. Right? All right. This kind of peace you can't find anywhere else. Jesus said to believe it. Believe that he can give you that. He will give us this peace, and we're expected to walk in this peace. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus said, my peace. The Bible says, the Amplified says, the gift of peace I'm giving you. I'm giving you a gift of peace. Thank God for that gift. And we need to empower ourselves and start acting on it. I have the peace of God in me. Now, let's explain some things. What is the mind? First of all, God does not want us to have a troubled mind. What is the mind? You know, we are spirit, soul, and body. We're only three parts. Now, some people, some circles around, and I know, you know, some in my culture teach about the spirit, and the mind, and soul. And all. The soul and the mind is the same thing, or the mind is part of the soul. And so if you don't don't understand the teaching, you'll be a, you know, God created us in three dimensions. Not four or five. We don't have two of us inside. We have one of us inside. And God put in us His Spirit. God put in us His Spirit and breathed in us, gave us life, and that our spirit, our born-again spirit, when we look at the spirit, the word spirit is the word breath. Literally, in translation, it's the breath of God. We have the life of God in us. God breathed in us one life that we live. Then He made us in three dimensions to live in this world. And that's what we understand through Scripture, understanding Scripture. We are spirit, first of all. Number one, we're spirit. Number two, we are soul. And number three, we're body. We're physical bodies. Our bodies are not our real self. Our bodies is a shell and what we use to operate in this realm. Our bodies are used, our bodies are our servants, not the other way around. Some places, some people, your body is the master. Whatever it decides, whatever appetites and desires it wants, they obey that. Sixth chapter of Mark, Romans says, we make our body obey us. We don't have to obey our appetites. You can say, no, you're not going to eat that 23rd piece of pie. I'm cutting you off right now. I've been exercising that a little bit. It works. Glory to God. But people keep giving me little treats sometimes. So I have to eat it all. I have to do it. anybody ever feel that way? Oh, I got to eat this. I got to do my duty. They've given me this raisin cake. Praise God. And I know you're doing a good job, Mr. King. Okay, so we're spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says in the New Testament, Romans 12 and 2, He says, be ye transformed by the removing of your mind. No. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of the mind, it talks about that word, gives us the understanding or the word picture that we're repairing, we're doing something, we're making changes, we're changing the room around, and we're doing it. And God wants us to renew our mind. Notice it says mind. Everybody say mind. So He said renewing the mind. And James says, says the same thing. James, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 23. It talks about in there that, the saving of our soul, the word saving in James 1, 23 is the same word, renewing, which is the same word we find in the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms, where it talks about in there that God, will help us renew our mind. And so we see that in the 23rd chapter as well. So we need to do something with our mind if we're going to have peace and live trouble-free. We have a responsibility to take care of our mind and our body. So the mind, what is the mind? The Bible says renewing of our mind. So what is the mind? The mind is part of the human soul. The mind is part of the human soul, which a person can reflect conscientiously in order to perceive and understand and to make decisions in our mind. People say, I make up my mind. So you do that. So your mind is a great way to your spirit. Whatever you feed your mind, you're going to, ascend over your spirit. That's why it's important to renew your mind with the Word of God so it'll line up with your spirit. with the will of God, to feed your mind the will of God. It's empowerment. And let me just say, the mind, from the Greek word, which is nous, N-O-U-S, which means seat of reflection or consciousness. Seat of reflection or consciousness. It's a faculty of perception and understanding. It's the throne of feeling, judging, and determining. A faculty of knowing, the seat of understanding. That's what it says in here. So that's a part of us. That's what our mind is. It's a seat of reflection. The ability to think and to make decisions out of that thinking. And knowing and understanding comes there. So what is a troubled mind? A troubled mind is a disturbed mind filled with thoughts of defeat and failure. It's a mind without the peace of God. God said we can have a peaceful mind. We all need to protect our minds from being disturbed or troubled, because we need to have peace. You know, people say, "Oh, I got to have peace. I got to go to Bahamas or somewhere, you know, just to get away and have peace." Well, yeah, you know, you can. You know, you'll probably get disturbed more over there. But we need to, you know, you can do things a little bit temporarily, like Pastor Hagin used to tell us. You know, some of you pastors, you know, you got trouble, you go take a vacation, you come back, the trouble's still there. That's what he says. And it's true too. I went away for a couple of weeks, come back, the trouble is still there. I thought it was all gone. No, it's still there. So, you know, we have conditions of our mind. And we say what we feed our mind really shows what the condition of our mind will be. Our mind can take on various conditions depending on what we've chosen or chosen not to do with our minds. For instance, we can have what we call, the Bible says, a fleshly mind. Always focusing on appetites. Colossians 2:18. Talks about here a vain mind, where the mind is empty of God's pursuits. An empty mind, the Bible says. You can empty your mind out of God's will and purposes and just not think about what God wants. You don't even give a thought about what God wants. Ask yourself when you're making decisions, does God really want me to do this? Does God want me to put on this makeup? I'm talking about the men. No. Yeah, whatever, no? I mean, some people go so far as to say, well, Lord, do you want me to wear this red shirt today? I think that'll be a choice you can make. So a vain mind, the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about a defiled mind. Ephesians 4:17, where the mind is corrupted by evil. Titus 1:5, where it talks about that. A carnal mind, where the mind is thinking based on natural things. Romans 8:7. Blinded mind, controlled by Satan's thoughts. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible talks about a sound mind, where the mind, it has God's will in it and it's full of peace. 2 Timothy 1:4 says, a focused mind, the one that has made up its mind to think like God. Isaiah 26:3, where peace of God, the peace of God is in it. Unrenewed mind, as we talked about right here, in 12th chapter, unrenewed mind. It's like it doesn't have God's word in it. It doesn't think like God thinks. You can have emptiness of God's word. But we want a mind developed in the will of God. What was Jesus really saying to his disciples here? In John 14:1 and 27, do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. The Amplified says, Don't let your heart be troubled, distressed, agitated. You ever get agitated? You believe in and hear to and trust and rely on God. Believe in and hear to and trust also in me. He says, my peace, my own peace, I give you, bequeath you to, this is the Amplified, not as the world gives do I give you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated, disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, unsettled. That's the Amplified. That's pretty good, isn't it? So next time you have that, just say to yourself, stop allowing yourself. So you have to tell yourself. Okay, mine, come on, I'll talk to you. I mean, that, you know, here's what the psalmist said, right? The psalmist said, you know, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art disturbed within me? So he's taking authority over his mind, and he's telling himself, here's what I need to focus on. You know, of course, Isaiah 26, he says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, you need to take whatever disturbances in your mind and say, here's what God's word says about this. God says, I don't have to worry. God says that he's taken care of everything. I've given him everything, and he hasn't taken it back. I'm not going to take it back. I'm giving it to God. He's working at it right now. It might not work overnight. Sometimes you have to stand for a while. Not just 2 weeks. Could be 2 years. Could be longer than that. Because God will have to work through different things. He doesn't force people. Especially when you're worried about family and friends and you're worried about them. I remember Brother Hagin said one time, he was praying for this one person and over the years. And they got this guy, you know, to a place. He was sick. And they got him healed. And he was out of the will of God. For 30 years, God says to him, let him die. Let him come home. I've been dealing with him. I've been waiting for him for 30 years. And now, he's older. He's got his money and financial and everything else in order. He's got his family in order. And everything's in order. He's got his spiritual life in order. Let him come home. There'll never be a better time than for him to come home right now. Imagine that, God waiting 30 years for somebody. Have you ever waited outside somebody's house for 30 years? You know, there's some people you wait for, and you say, okay, are you ready? Okay, I'll be there. I mean, you come up to their house, and you wait and wait and wait. I thought they were coming. Well, I'm coming. And you wait and wait and wait, 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 wait. Still not coming. When you say you're ready, you should be outside the doorstep waiting. Where is he? Is he here? You know, not just, oh, I'm coming. And you're still, you know, brushing your teeth. Brush your teeth on the way. Bring it with you. Amplified says, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2, gives us a good shade of meaning what peace means. Jesus said, I'll give you peace. How many of you need a little extra peace today? Huh? I could use some, man. I could use a ton of it. Right? Dump it at my house. If you don't have any extra, we got extra ones, just thumb it over. What if you could do that, eh? Hey, yeah, Maxine, you got an extra piece? Oh, yeah, I got lots. Come on over. I'll give you a chunk of it here. Give some to your wife and your dogs. Did you find 2 Peter 1 and 2? Come on now, get it. Hallelujah. Everybody said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm full of peace. Say, I'll never worry again. And your mind says, oh, you're lying about it. But no, that's my heart. I'm going to not worry anymore. He says, may grace, God's favor, on the Amplified Classical, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Now, you've got to explain what agitating passions are. Those are things that your flesh, your mind wants to do that's not in the will of God. Like, say, for instance, an agitating passion would be like, I need a smoke right now. You know, I got to have, you know, whatever. I got to gamble tonight. I mean, you know, to really fight off, to really not want to gamble, you got an agitating passion. I really want to go tonight to the gambling. I know I'm spirit-filled. I speak in tongues, and I just pull on those levers. You know, I just still pray too. You know, so agitating passions, or somebody has things, you know, maybe they have problems sexually. You gotta have it. No. You can just hang on there for a second. Put it off for 5 minutes. I'm trying not to look at anybody. Okay, I'm looking over here. It says moral conflicts. That would be a moral conflict. I got to, you know, I don't have any peace unless I steal something today. You know, wow. I mean, you know, to have these kind of things happen to you, it's not, there's no peace in want to steal something. There's no peace in want to fornicate with somebody. There's no peace in want to have illicit affairs. There's no peace in it. There's no peace in wanting that. You gotta go to the res to buy res smokes. There's no peace in it. Just driving people around, doing different things. You know, God says, I'm giving you peace. If this is in your mind, you're going to have peace right now. I don't have to do it. I don't have to obey my body. I don't even have to obey my mind. I'm going to obey my mind if it has God's word in it. I'm not going to smoke today. I told myself that, well, a long time ago, not lately. Because I was driven by smoke. I wouldn't go visit people's houses because they never smoked. I wouldn't go drive in some people's cars because they smoked. Because it drove me to do things, avoided things. I wouldn't go to certain meetings. I wouldn't go to certain movies. I wouldn't go to certain places because I needed to have a smoke every 5 minutes. Where's my friend? He's not here today. Or some of my friends who smoke. But listen, you know, you can quit smoking if you want to. You just don't want to. People say, I can't help it. I'm going to different kind of meetings. People say, I can't. They can't help it. No, they can. They can help it. No matter how weak you are and how many years you failed, you can do this. Is God's word true or is it not true? You have to make up your mind if God's word is true or not. So, you know, it's like, you know, when you talk to a drug addict, you say, you can quit. And they should turn around and say, you can quit worrying about me. Right? And we need to understand that. We can have freedom. But, you know, this peace that Jesus talks about is something that's available right now. You don't have to pray about it. Say, Lord, please give me this peace. Just take it. Jesus said, I've given it to you. Start acting like it's there. What's peace? As we said, peace is freedom, a freedom of mind from annoyance, from distraction, from anxiety, from obsessions. Peace is tranquility and serenity in the mind. Oh, praise God, I'm worry-free. Number two, peace is a state of tranquility, as I mentioned. Free from disquieting or oppressive thoughts and emotions. Do not let that overtake you. So there's times that people don't have any peace. They're just so overwhelmed. In fact, you know, Luke says in there that people are so drunk with troubles and trials in their life. They're so inebriated with troubles. They're so full of troubles. And you talk to them and all comes out is just troubles coming out all the time. There's troubles coming out when you talk to them. You know, you can talk to God and talk to him and meditate. Say, Lord, I know you said don't do this, and I've, you know, maybe I've done it. it's been difficult. You talk to God like that. Say, I'm gonna do this. And if I fail, I can't fail because you said I can do this. Now you might say, well, I don't have any trouble today. I haven't troubled for a long time. But don't worry, it's gonna come. It'll come. I remember, you know, I was having such a trial, both, you know, in different areas. And I was thinking, I went for a walk, and a thought came to me. Jerry, it's nice and hot outside. And I thought about that black label, sweaty looking bottle with the sweat coming off it, or the you know, wouldn't that be nice just to have one of those right now? Just one, to relax my attention. Just for a brief moment. Right? I mean, you know, you're talking about somebody who's an addict. Like, I'm not an active addiction. I haven't touched something for over 40 years. And yet it still comes by me. And yet, if people are smoking, now some of you might not understand this. You might understand it in a different context. But when someone's smoking, a bunch of people smoke out there, like some of our friends, I'm walking out there, and I feel like I want to have a smoke with them before service. Right? And I haven't smoked. I haven't smoked for a long time. And I smoke 2 packs a day. 2 packs, pack and a half. Pack and a hack, I used to say. Pack and a hack a day. And I wasted all my money on that smoke. And yet, I've been saved for a long time. And yet, this still comes up. They say, what's wrong with you, Roma? What's your problem? You doing okay? You okay, man? You okay? I'm copying the TikToks I see. You all right, man? You all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Come on, man. And so, I've been free from alcohol and drugs for a long time, and yet it comes. You see, this is my soul. My body's not born again. Neither is your body not born again. And if you allow yourself and be around certain things long enough, it'll start wanting their freedom to do that kind of thing. You say, oh, come on, just one. And your mind goes that way. And all of a sudden, it's okay. Troubled mind. All of a sudden, you find yourself. And I used to hear stories when I was in the AA program. I like going to hear people talk. People talk about having a slip, they call it. How many of you know what a slip means? Not a slip a woman puts on under her dress, but a slip when you fall over on the ice, but a slip is when you somehow accidentally start drinking and taking drugs. Close your mind, Pastor Ken. I'm talking about drugs. I'm getting to know him a little bit more. I should let him preach more. You get to know him. It was so hilarious on Wednesday. I was here just having a great time. I wish he went another hour. I was looking at Cindy's reaction too, wondering, is he going to pull a Will Smith on him? She's glad. I can see, you know, what's she going to do? What's she thinking about? But our minds need to be renewed every day. Every day is a decision. I'm not going to have a troubled mind. I'm not going to be disturbed by that thought. That's why there's so many scriptures that will keep in perfect peace with mind. It stayed on there. Isaiah 26:3. That's why it says casting down imagination, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means you say, Is that thought in line with God's thoughts? Is that what God would have me to think? To think about the ugliness of people dying, people having sickness, me getting sick, me going broke and losing all my money during this COVID time? Is that God? Does he want me to think that way? And if I'm thinking that way all the time and, you know, just stagger out of my house and I'm out of here. I'm drunk with the anxieties. Where's that raisin bread? I got to have some soup. I'm pork hogs. Anybody ever eat pork hogs? Eh? I see a few porkies out there. In fact, you're starting to salivate. It's 12 o'clock. I think we better end this right now. Come on, rescue me. Song leaders, where are you? You should be playing a tune. As soon as I said pork hogs, you should start playing a tune right away. Pork hogs, pork hogs. What did you learn about service? About pork hogs. Heaven in the morning, heaven in the evening. I can see this guy, man. He's been having some pork hogs. I'm glad he doesn't get mad at me. He's my son in the faith. You can't attack your dad like that. I'm your only dad right now. Hallelujah. Say, I have a sound mind. Say, I don't have to worry about anything. Say, the devil's a liar. I take down every thought that tells me to worry. I'm not going to be disturbed or agitated about any kind of thought. I'm going to challenge every thought and match it up with the Word of God and see if it's in the will. If it's not in the will, I throw it off. I have the power to take authority over what I think and how I feel and how I act. I make a decision right now to act on the Word that Jesus said, I have peace. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus for this moment that we have serenity and peace, joy, laughter. Ha, ha, ha. Mr. Devil, you're a liar. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus. I'm coveting, praying for all my family, faith family here in the name of Jesus in this room right now. As I prayed many times during the daytime, I just pray for every single person in this room, every man, woman, child that calls Faith City Church their home that you've given me authority over, to come and be in their homes with them spiritually and to stand against the enemy from attacking them, attacking their family, attacking their stuff and things, and to have a home filled with the peace of God. We apply the blood of Jesus by faith over every single home, every single car they drive when they're around everywhere in the places, that, Lord, your protection is upon them, that no evil, no disaster will strike them. They'll be full of the power of God, that everyone is filled with your Holy Spirit, empowered by your love. We give you praise that we are not afraid. We will not be afraid of bad news. We are expecting good news. We thank you for the peace of God in every area. Lord God, you said you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And you said in your word concerning cares that you'll perfect that which everyone has a concern for. You'll make it right and you'll make it good as they lay claim to the scriptures that God fills all of my needs. And God is my strong tower. He is my shield. God is my strength. And I can leap over a wall. And I can fight an army in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed right now in the name of Jesus. There's somebody here that said, I've been away from God. And I need to get back to God. Is there somebody here that says, I've been away from Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. Is there somebody here right now? In the name of Jesus. Lift up your head and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to come back to Jesus. Everybody's born again. Everybody's saved. There's somebody here that's not born again. You can just, the Bible says that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's God's Son. Send Him to die for us. If you said, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You said who You say You are. You're God's Son. That You've come and took away the sins of the world. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. And according to Your word, I am born again. I'm saved. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank You. And if there's anybody here that needs healing in their body, we pray for healing to manifest in their body. We stand in faith, believing for healing and health in the name of Jesus. Thank You for medicine working in their bodies, the people that are taking medicines. I pray that medicine is working until your faith takes over in the name of Jesus right now. Pain must go in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless every one of you. Have a wonderful Sunday.